welcome to Flex Forward, a new Colliers podcast series. Through discussions with industry leaders, this series will include short episodes that look at some of the emerging trends and current insights around the flexible workspace industry. In this episode, Will Birchfield, VP of Flexible Workspace Consulting Americas, speaks with Jeff Dowman, President of IWG North America, and Michael Barretta, VP of Network Development Americas. They discuss how the effects of the pandemic have led to occupiers to consider the importance of flexible workspace and why strategic partnerships are beneficial. With that, let's hand over to Will, Jeff, and Michael.
All right. Welcome to Flex Forward Podcast Season 2. I'm Will Birchfield. I'm our Flex Consulting Practice Lead here in the Americas at Colliers. Really excited today for what we have in store for our listeners. I've got two heavy hitter guests on the platform from IWG, a well-revered brand in the industry from a historical perspective today. I have with me Michael Barretta, who is VP of Network Development for the Americas, and alongside him, Jeff Dogman, who is the president of North America. So really excited to have you two both here today. It is an ever-changing landscape in Flex. I feel like every time I hop on one of these podcasts and there's a myriad of topics to discuss. And I guess with that, I'd like to just open up the floor for quick introductions. You know, Michael and Jeff, you guys have been in the business for a long time, incredibly well-versed, not only in Flex, but in the general real estate scope. You know, Michael, I guess I'll start with you. Maybe just like, you know, a quick background, how long you've sort of been in the weeds here in Flex and sort of your take on sort of what's happening around the world right now.
Sure. Thanks, Will. I appreciate it. And thanks for having us on the show today. I've been in this industry for over 30 years and with IWG, the majority of my career starting in 2000. And I've had a variety of positions in the business that range from opening up, you know, single centers early in my career to running the real estate platform that we've got in place today, which covers probably over about 22 million square feet, 1,200 locations, and, you know, a very vibrant growth program. I think it's also interesting to note that Jeff and I have spent time in the trenches together since day one. And, you know, the partnership that he and I have in growing this business and watching it evolve over the years has been incredible, from, you know, a very entrepreneurial approach in our early days to now creating an industrialized growth machine and sales machine that is really unparalleled today. But I'll hand it over to Jeff and let him kind of give a little more of his background and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Michael. I haven't been here quite as long as Michael, but I'm starting my 20th year with IWG next month. And yeah, Michael and I, you know, were here at the very beginning in the early 2000s, you know, launching this thing when we, you know, had, you know, just a handful of centers, and have seen tremendous growth to, you know, 1,100 plus locations in North America in the last 20 years. You know, throughout my career, I've been in the, you know, the multi-unit side. So I've led, you know, every part geographically of North America, you know, as a vice president and helping drive, you know, the local sales and operations. I did have a stint for 3 years where, when we merged with HQ, I helped set up our global corporate account program. So really merged the two programs together back in 2003 and 2004, and then helped build our first really truly global corporate accounts team. So I've seen not only, you know, the business from the operations side and the sales side, but I've truly seen it on a global side. And I've worked with our largest corporations, you know, for the better part of the last 15 to 20 years.
It's wonderful. And, you know, it's funny, I'm sitting here listening to you both, and I feel like there's no better duo with that level of experience to sort of hash out what I want to talk about today. And I'm really excited about where we go. And I think it might be beneficial to start from a very high level point of view here, or sort of 30,000 foot view on the industry today. I mean, what do you think the pandemic has ultimately taught us, and us not only as people who work in this industry, but, you know, tenants and real people who are voting with their feet?
Well, I'll take that one. I think, you know, obviously COVID's fundamentally changed, you know, everyone's attitudes about work, you know, how and where they work, most particularly, not just corporations, but obviously, you know, all the employees that are out there. There was technology out there that allowed us to, you know, to work remotely, but it's just taken off in the last 2 years. And so, you know, you see that wholesale people moving away from corporate headquarters, you know, during the pandemic and now being entrenched and, you know, and working remotely. And productivity, you know, has not lost. If anything, in many respects, it's gained. And I think that, you know, everyone's questioning now about, you know, the traditional ways in which we work. And it doesn't really seem that logical, you know, getting in your car every morning, driving in, you know, or taking a train into an urban, you know, CBD hub and all that time wasted and all that environmental, you know, recourse on that. So, you know, I think employees now, in the longer that this thing has gone on, employers now have a little bit more leverage, as we all can see with, you know, living through the Great Resignation right now. And I think we've been quick to react to that, and we've been quick to offer, you know, multiple different solutions, not just to the companies, you know, and the corporate real estate, you know, professionals, but, you know, also to that small, fast-growing entrepreneurial type company. So we just see the visits to the corporation, the headquarters going down, and we see just, you know, more alternatives being offered, and we just want to be part of those alternatives moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, your brand and the range of solutions you can provide under the IWG umbrella, it really is bar none the most widely cast net in the industry. And I think, you know, do you have any plans or do you have any thoughts with the pandemic ultimately becoming what it has and having its lasting impact, not only on work, but on people? Do you feel your network is going to be expanding here, you know, over the horizon? Do you feel like this industry is sort of just still in early innings?
Yeah, I'll step in on that one, I guess, Jeff. I mean, I think that if we step back and look at IWG's growth over the past 15 years and our ability to weather situations like the pandemic, you look at global economies, you look at a roller coaster ride of different types of business climates and just a sea of changes. And I think that one thing that has remained extremely important in our business has been the fact that we've got unparalleled global network coverage. I mean, we found that diversification and that offering has been a game changer across our customer base, whether it's global corporates or even regional companies. And our strategy for the last 10, 15 years has been to basically create networks within that global network, because we found that it's also important to take a city level approach and look at secondary and tertiary trade areas within each city, and then expanding that range outside, so that eventually we've been able to build a network of locations that are centered around where people actually live. And being able to kind of be on the forefront of that, I think, was key to our survival during the pandemic. It's interesting, as people began to migrate more towards working close to home and getting out of the commute and all the things around carbon neutrality, we happen to be in perfect position for that. And I think that we're going to continue to exploit that network growth and go farther and farther into densification in those secondary and tertiary trade areas.
I think that makes total sense. And you're seeing it from your competitors and others in this space, and landlords even. I think, to my point earlier, I think we are just in early innings here. And I think that the suite of solutions that will fall underneath this sort of flex umbrella and this flex bucket are going to get incredibly, incredibly exciting here in the next year or two. And you're seeing consolidation in the space. You're seeing new tech come to market. You're seeing brands reshuffle their footprint in order to adhere to this hybrid notion of work, which ultimately, as we all know, is here to stay. And I just, hybrid work is something that everybody has a different view on, you know, be it a traveling salesperson, be it a finance executive who works downtown 5 days a week, manages a team, men and women who are dispersed around how they are now achieving their best productivity and their best working modes. I guess, what are your thoughts on hybrid work? Like, what is it? What does it look like? How is it best served? And is there a best practice around what the structure of hybrid work really is?
Well, their best practices are evolving every single day, right? And you know, and unfortunately, some of these variants have caused people to put new wrinkles into it. But I mean, there's the employee, and then there's the corporation, right? And so, I think what hybrid's really done is it's made working a win-win situation, right, for both the employee and the corporation. From the employee side, it's all about work-life balance. And everyone, even before the pandemic, was always striving for better work-life balance. But, you know, I think what COVID did is, you know, we all stopped commuting, a hard stop in March of 2020. And then, you know, to a varying degree, the longer that this has gone on, the more that employees just no longer want that. And corporations have realized it is, you know, hurting their productivity, and it is causing them to not recruit the best talent. And, you know, they do have to make their carbon offset plans. And so it can all come together. When the employee, when, you know, 75% of employees want to work closer to home, and you know, in a survey that we ran said, listen, in my next job, if I can't work closer to home, I'm not going to go work for that company, right? And then if you look at, you know, the millennials, you know, 50% of them who are the burgeoning part of the workforce right now are saying, listen, work-life balance and being able to work where I want to work is, you know, more important to me than what they're paying me, right? So I want to work close to home, and I want to work where I want to work. So when you think of hybrid, all those solutions are covered, you know, because of a network, because of, you know, different brands that we have, and also different solutions, right? Not just having an office, but our virtual office products and our membership products. And then, you know, going back to the corporation, there's a lot of savings when people aren't having to commute in, you know, into the office. Huge productivity gains. I mean, if you think about it, productivity gains were actually falling prior to COVID. And now it's really hard to measure with people, but, you know, everyone can say pretty much hand over heart that productivity is probably gone up the fastest it has from a white collar worker standpoint, you know, in the last 20 years. And then again, I go back to the whole piece of, we have businesses not only trying to recruit the best talent and offering the best solutions, but also trying to make sure that they have their ESG policy. And the hybrid helps them solve all those problems, recruit, you know, better people, allow them to work when they want to, reduce their commute, which helps their carbon offset goals that they're trying to set. So it's truly win-win for both the industry as well as for the employers and for the workers out there.
Yeah, I think it's funny. As I sit here, in my home, in my spare bedroom, which is now my quasi office, you know, you start to think about the benefits of this hybrid structure. And, you know, I have a young daughter at home. There's a lot of people who would kill to spend more time with their kids pre-pandemic and didn't really have the opportunity to. And now being able to be part of these milestones because of the flexibility that our employers are providing us, I think the mental just stress relief of hopping on a train or getting in your car and being able to structure your day as you see fit for you to do your best work, it is the future. And I think I work out of my house a few days a week. I go to some flex office solutions a few days a week. I go to our corporate headquarters in New York City a few days a week. And I've sort of found this structure that works best for me. And I think the more that employees can continue to figure out what works best for them, flex becomes even more important. But when you start thinking about a footprint for a corporate real estate occupier, if you don't have flex in your footprint, or you're not considering having flex in your footprint, your labor pool and your labor talent and retention strategy is going to continue to fail. And we're seeing that across the board, and it's becoming almost commonplace these days. And I think I want to bring this back into the personalization of this podcast, given our relationship with Colliers and IWG very briefly. And we have a new newly formed strategic partnership here. And I think I want to turn it over to you guys, since you are the masterminds behind this strategic partnership with Colliers. But what is the partnership? What does it sort of mean for how we at Colliers and IWG work together moving forward?
I think it's a massive point for us to cover. The relationship that we have with Colliers goes back many, many years. Our business, especially in Canada, was built alongside with the Colliers team, with the help of Tobin Davis in Toronto. We had extremely strong support in Vancouver from Colin Scarlett. Gosh, I could list, you know, 10 different names where the Colliers team from senior management, I mean, all the way up the chain to the executive level, embraced our business in Canada. And we became, or I'm sorry, Colliers became embedded in our team to the point where our own salespeople and the sales professionals within Colliers were almost interchangeable. And that relationship remains true today. I think it's the gold standard in the industry, you know, from a standpoint of partnership. The support that we've gotten in that part of the world is just unparalleled. And I've personally used it as a kind of a benchmark for other relationships we've got in other parts of our global platform. Well, we had kind of an interesting situation occur this last year where a team that we had been working with for upwards of 15 years in the United States joined Colliers. And it was kind of a perfect opportunity to build the relationship overall for the Americas and leverage that relationship internally and build the Colliers relationship overall. So it was just an amazing circumstance for us. And it was a seamless transition, which we found to be extremely helpful these days. I mean, I manage a portfolio of, like I said, over 1,100 leases, and it's a very active portfolio. The last 2 years, we probably sat down and picked apart over 800 agreements. We've got 100 or so deals that we work on in the Colliers patch a year, and that's just maintaining our existing portfolio. And it's absolutely necessary for the team that I have in place, my outsourced real estate team with Colliers, to act as if they're employees or shareholders within our organization, and they've done exactly that. They interact perfectly with Jeff's sales team. We pitch deals together. It's interchangeable whether it's a real estate situation or an actual sales situation with an enterprise client. And the focus now over the last 90 to 120 days is to do exactly what you kind of touched on, and that's how do we leverage the Colliers team, the new Colliers team in the U.S., to help us grow the business. And I'm happy to say that our goal overall is to grow the business by 1,000 locations a year.
I guess speaking of the addition, I'm like, my eyes are like, you know, popping onto my head, 1,000 locations a year from a growth trajectory perspective. Let's pivot to the landlord side, which I think is kind of a good segue here. So how are you envisioning partnering with landlords and owners in this sort of go forward momentum that IWG is feeling right now? And is this flex offering or any sort of flex offering something that every landlord needs to have?
Partnering with landlords is not a new concept for us. Franchising is not a new concept for us. Managing operations is not a new concept. We've been doing it since our inception. So that alone kind of sets us apart from a level of experience and scope and breadth. The fact that we operate so many different brands allows us to partner with every type of landlord on the planet, whether it's a large institutional offering where we're putting our five-star brand in place, or if it's a rural location or a smaller city, a tertiary market, standalone owner of a building that simply wants to bring the brand and the concept, doesn't have any experience, but knows that it's a business that they want to get involved with. We can literally open, design, implement, begin selling immediately, leveraging a global network of sales professionals and operators under Jeff's team that have so much experience. I mean, in comparison to our competitive set, we have people that have been in these markets. We've opened 10, 15 new locations in the last 6 months that were assimilation of previous operations for building owners, and we picked those up and immediately created revenue production for them. And most importantly, to kind of circle back to the beginning of your question, you know, this isn't new. Landlords recognized that they needed to set themselves apart from a competitive standpoint themselves by ordering or implementing, you know, a hybrid or flex solution in their portfolio because their customers were demanding it. Mm-hmm. And they wanted those customers. So the natural progression that's happened over the last couple of years is that we've set ourselves apart.
Yeah, I think, you know, sitting in New York City, I feel like
I feel like every landlord, you know, has their own idea for what flex is supposed to look like within their greater network of assets. And our occupier tenants, our occupier clients are demanding best in class from flex. And, you know, best in class from flex right now doesn't always have to be a landlord product. It could be a traditional historical flex brand able to offer something holistically from a global perspective that actually speaks more truer to what needs to be achieved from the business unit perspective. And if you're a landlord without flex in your building right now, I feel like you're struggling to land those types of clients that are maybe choosing different centers or different locations based on the amenity structure within an asset and or a larger global portfolio. So I definitely can understand and appreciate trying to grow by 1,000 locations a year, the structure that IWG has in place in order to achieve those numbers. Selfishly, being out here in the suburbs, I guess the office demand compared to CBD and that quasi-suburb, I'll just like finger air quotes, this like suburban nature of work in these sort of tertiary and or suburban areas around these major metropolises, like what... And you have a fairly strong presence compared to some of your largest competitors in these suburban markets. How have those locations performed from this office demand perspective compared to that sort of downtown core CBD environment?
Yeah, some of our suburbs, especially in, you know, the Midwestern cities, the Sunbelt cities, the South, they really were hardly impacted at all by COVID, right? And what was interesting is when people first went out back in March of 2020, it was amazing how many people went out and said, I'm going to go get my own office for the next 90 days until my corporation decides to sort out what I'm going to do because I just can't work at home. You know, I have a kid at home. I have the kids are home from school. I can't be here when all this is going on. So, in greater parts of suburbia, I spend a lot, you know, most of my time in the Chicagoland area. It was amazing how it was like nothing ever changed. And, you know, then when you look at when the takeoff happened last April, when, you know, everyone started getting, you know, gaining confidence before the variants hit, we have a huge amount of our suburban portfolio that is fully occupied. And I'm talking about cities, like I said, as, you know, in the Midwest, the Southwest, the Sun Belt, just fully occupied. The tougher the cities were in terms of their mandates, the worse the CBD experience was, and the more it just drove people out to the suburbs. And so now we're seeing that change because almost every, you know, city in the United States has lifted their mandates. And so now we're starting to see, you know, the CBDs come back as well.
Michael, Jeff, this has been incredibly exciting. I appreciate both of your time. Your expertise in this space is clearly unparalleled. We love the IWG brand. We are all friends in this industry, and we're all trying to grow the network and this greater aura of flex across our occupier platform. So thank you very much for your time. All the best and continued success. And I'm sure we'll be seeing some big news in the future.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Share your thoughts about this episode, or if you have any ideas for future episode topics, please email us at flex@colliers.com. You can find our latest publications, articles, and other materials on colliers.com. And we are currently recording our next batch of interviews with some really exciting guests. So please stay tuned for more from Flex Forward soon. Mm-hmm.